Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another great episode of Public Access America. Happy Halloween. My name is Jason, and we are just waiting for our co-hosts, and I'm excited about that. I want to remind you that you can go ahead and check out our live streams on YouTube at Public Access America, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, every Sunday morning. And you can find our podcast at Public Access America on Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Apple Podcasts, and more. Thank you for supporting us all around the world. We are so interested in what's going on this week. There isn't a lot of huge news, but there is a lot of advocacy. And we are just hoping to have a free form flowing conversation with whoever attends. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening, and have a great day. We'll be right back.
It is time now for something positive.
We might be headed to the promised land.
The promised land, speaking the truth, and
finding our external liberty once we internally liberate ourselves.
The problem can only be solved when there is a kind of coalition of conscience.
This is the beginning, it is not the finale,
and that's why we're here, and that's why we rally.
We've got to be that creative minority.
Get in the way. I got in trouble. It was good trouble. It was necessary trouble.
Frankly, I know we've got to do something.
Live stream. And hello, everybody. Welcome back. Yay. I do most of the announcing while I'm setting up my audio. So he's Jeffrey. I'm Jason. Happy Halloween. Yo.
Jeez.
What's going on in Washington State?
Oh, not really a whole lot. It's a little chilly here on the western side of the state this morning after we got hit with the quote unquote bomb cyclone.
You got a cyclone?
Well, they call it a bomb cyclone. It's not actually a cyclone like we think of in terms of like what hits Asia. It's not a hurricane. It's just a strong tropical, or it's not even tropical. It's just a strong low. And really, you know, that low pressure system, like anything else, you know, just it starts to spin a little bit. And then we got hit with some wind and some rain. Like if you were to try and compare it, it might be close to like a tropical depression-ish.
Right. Okay.
But it wasn't even really that windy. We got some pretty decent rain out of it. We were running a deficit. And now after that storm, we're running a surplus. So
congratulations. I hope that helps all the way down the coast. You know what I mean?
I'm especially hoping that it helps my buddy clear down in Central California, because they've been dry for a long time.
Right. We talk about food insecurity, but I think people miss the point we make about water security, you know, because we are always talking about that too. So I don't know if they go hand in hand, but shit, we got to take care of both of them at the same time. So My friend Kai, from Unsubscribe, by the way, wanted this episode to be a little spooky, to have some spooky in it. So I'm just going to ask, what was your sexiest costume ever?
It was just me naked with a bowl of candy.
So every guy does that.
Well, problem was is that I was told that it was probably a bad idea. I thought it'd be hilarious to paint it and label it Snickers and see how long it takes for somebody to grab the wrong candy bar or the right one, depending on who you are.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Other than
it's
that,
like it's a dick in a bowl sort of thing.
Yeah, except I didn't, you know, like I didn't follow through with it like the way that people expected, because let's be real honest, cutting Tupperware leaves some sharp plastic edges, and cutting your dick isn't exactly a fun time. So,
jeez, no, never is.
Of course, you know, my running joke was that, you know, barring I'd get thrown in fucking jail for it, I bet I'd land a single mom or two.
The most direct way with a single mom, she doesn't have time to mess around, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, she got a busy life. But yeah. I never really did like the quote unquote sexy costumes.
Right.
I mean, to me, like sexy costumes are like it's so forced. It's just I mean, you know,
attention seeking maybe. Or just having fun, you know. Shout out to all those single moms that are in sexy costumes today. You go.
You know, and you know, I guess what I would say is that, you know, why do you need one day of a year to dress slutty when you can do it every day of the year?
I mean, please, you know, dress slutty anytime you want.
Well, and I mean, let's be realistic here. You know, given that we already have this issue with how we patrol women's bodies, why the fuck is this an issue? It's like,
yeah.
I mean, the running joke was for a long time, at least, it was, you know, what was the unexpected slutty costume of the year going to be? And when the poop emoji first came out, my bet was that there was going to be a slutty poop.
Was there ever a slutty poop?
I feel like there are some Google searches I'm not willing to do. Because I have
Two girls in a cup was popular at the same time, right?
Yeah, I have a feeling that I'm going to get an answer and it's not going to be the one I'm looking for. And I'm just going to end up scarring my eyes.
Yeah, there's some things I don't want in my head long term, so I really just don't look at them. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, my search history is already trash as it is, so it's not like I'm concerned about my search history so much as there's some things I really just don't want popping up again.
Yeah, again and again. That's why I decoupled from Facebook, by the way, because I was tired of that stuff popping up into my Facebook feed, you know?
You mean Meta?
Meta, yeah.
Oh, right. Christ. Oh, it hurts Man. So much.
I love that. I love the fork in the road. Hey, we have an option here. Did you want to talk about Meta, Facebook, or did you want to talk about poop?
Well, I mean, let's be real honest. They're both shit, so.
Right, right. But they're totally different directions, you know what I mean? So, I mean, the Facebook papers came out. Is there anything you took away from it? There's so much that I didn't even bother looking through it. I think there's so much that there isn't even a lot of reporting on it because people are still digging through it.
People are still digging through it. But I mean, it's not even like, you know, our worst fears have come true. It's pretty much, you know, if you're somewhat cynical, it's pretty much what you've expected. The company focused on its profits, didn't really give a shit about the people, and really, you know, they knew what they were doing. So,
right. And when you say the company thought about their profits, what you mean is they succumbed to government pushing out. Like governments around the world said, we won't let you into our country unless you subvert the suppression, you know, suppress the subversion, as it were. And a lot of Facebook gave in to government control a lot around the world.
With the exception of here, and in which case, you know, they pretty much just gave the government a giant middle finger and did whatever they were going to do. And I would say you got people on the left and the right rightfully angry about the situation. I mean, for different reasons. You know, they're angry at the company. They just, some of them did the math wrong, but came to the right result.
Right, right. I remember Elizabeth Warren putting that false campaign ad out because Facebook said political content gets to stay up. And so she did that. But I remember that, you know?
Yeah.
that whole Facebook. I just don't like Facebook overall. It's not what it used to be. It's not what I used to use it for. And they're trying to be like a news agency without the responsibility of a news agency. And I just don't want to be a part of that. That's what I have Twitter for, you know?
Well, and it's also more like what I have an internet connection for to, you know, reputable news sources, not Facebook. Because the thing is that Facebook, you know, they refuse to filter out crap sources. And I say that as somebody who has friends on both the far left and the far right. You know, it's like they're posting crap and I'm sitting there looking at it going, you're both nuts. You're both absolutely crazy. And you're both absolutely wrong. And I don't understand where you think that this is true in any version of reality. But Facebook isn't going to do anything about that. And you know, you do have that question around what does freedom of speech look like in this country. And especially when, you know, we have our stuff, you know, even our stuff gets posted in various different places. You know, at what point does it freedom of speech versus censorship versus suppression? And it's a tough line for a country that has the freedom of speech enshrined in their First Amendment. That said, I would say that what they view as threats of violence versus what are actually threats of violence are really messed up, because Facebook, you know, Facebook uses an AI in order to determine a lot of this stuff. And the AI is not that good at it yet. I say yet. I mean, let's be real honest. You know, Fadog jumps on here, he'll have a good laugh about it. But like I said, you know, with Facebook, they're like, oh, we're going to try and tamp down on sex trafficking. Adog puts out a post about how he's starting an OnlyFans where it's $5 nudes and $25 not to get one. And when I asked him how many nudes I get for $25, I get thrown in Facebook jail because it's clearly a whole joke the entire way down. But then you have people that are actually soliciting and they don't get banned. And so it's like, you know, the system doesn't understand the difference between people who are joking and actual sex trafficking. Or, you know, another, I got zucked again here at the beginning of the month because one of my friends posted was supposed to be some, you know, inspirational quote about how, you know, you're your own barrier to your own success. And I just commented with the joke saying, yeah, I know that bastard and I'll fucking kill him. And of course, it's about me. But Facebook doesn't understand that I was making a joke about myself and they thought I was making threats of violence. And I'm like, really? It's like, sorry, we're banning you for threatening violence against yourself.
Right. And I have a friend that actually had a Facebook account. She was an escort. And she, I mean, constantly got reported and just suspended and, you know, kicked off.
Mm-hmm.
Just for using the messenger in a way. But when a man gets upset at a girl for not responding, she gets attacked for it. And then Facebook goes and
does jack shit.
Attacks her for it. You know what I mean?
Or, you know, the guys who just send unsolicited dick pics and nothing gets done about it.
Right. And I want to say that, like, I'm on Snapchat. Get Snapchat. Oh, man, Snapchat took a hit. But I get just as many unsolicited, oh, hey, by the way, here's my nude. Contact me. Oh, my messenger suddenly isn't working. I can't see what you're saying. Come and visit me on this link, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I get that stuff, too. So,
oh, yeah.
But, so Apple introduced this new non-track thing in its abilities. So when you get an app, Apple asks you, do you want this to track you through other apps, yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
And people are saying no. And Snapchat lost about $20 a share based on that because they don't know which ads are effective any longer. And I being a member of the Snapchat ownership, am happy about that, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and why are you happy about that?
Because I think they should find another way to profit without tracking me invasively like they were. If they're being upfront about it, I agree to it, then that's fine. But these people just tracking me more and more and sliding it into the user agreement feels kind of shady to me.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I always thought was at some point I would have loved to have had a an ad-free version of the platform. Hey, $5 a month and you don't see any ads, period.
I would agree to that, you know?
I mean, I would have to sit down and seriously consider whether or not it's, you know, worth it. I mean, a lot of the time, you know, there's things that I do that disable tracking. So, like, I don't get any ads whatsoever. But there are some things where it's like, you know, okay, let's objectively look at this. You know, what could we do in order to have our user base be profitable? Like, the ads thing got out of control. Let's be real honest. You know, it was really annoying at first. Like, you remember when Facebook had the sidebar, and that's where all your ads would show up. That was really annoying. But it was easy to ignore. But now, like, it's just straight in your feed. And so, like, and their algorithm is really fucked up at times. It's like, I swear, once a quarter, at this point, what ends up happening is I end up getting a bunch of ads for things that don't make any fucking sense whatsoever. Like, I got ads for an HIV drug. I got ads for, basically a bunch of churches. I got ads for a bunch of like far right leaning conservative groups. Like,
because they don't know who you are. You're not doing anything trackable, right?
Well, I wouldn't say that. It's just like, it's like they're trying to appease certain groups. Like, oh, hey, look, we offered up, you know, your information to a bunch of different people, and they flat out blocked your ass.
Right.
It's like, I don't want to see that shit. I think they're fucking idiots. And then when the left stuff shows up, I do the same thing. It's like, it's like, these guys are fucking morons. I don't want to subscribe to your crap.
There was a time when Facebook signed on, like, with Fox News, like, during the election or something, and all I got was just right-wing conspiracy nut jobs. I actually sent an email to Facebook saying, can you please, please stop this, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't see them after that, but I constantly see ads, and I'm constantly going into my privacy and disconnecting the ad ability, but yet I constantly see ads, and then I hide the ad, and then I say I'm not interested in the ad, and it just turns out like so much, and then they update. And they put that section in a different new section and turn it on. Mm-hmm. And then I have to go back and search for it again and disable it. And it just seemed like more work to be on Facebook than it was necessary. You know what I mean?
Oh, I hear you on that. And that's been real unfortunate because, you know, what used to be me being able to just interact with my friends became me being constantly bombarded by trying to buy shit. And it's like, I do wonder how much of this stuff actually works. Like, how many people actually click on shit in order to buy certain things or subscribe to certain things or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because some of these things, like, I have talked with, you know, quite a few of my friends, and they're like, I've never bought anything off of a Facebook ad. Which makes me wonder, like, how much of this shit's just fucking made up.
The only ads I get are for things I've already bought.
Right.
And so why would it doesn't make sense to me. I've never used a Facebook ad, and that's what irritates me about it. It's like, hey, you just bought this, do you want to see a new version? No, I bought that for my girlfriend. I never want to see any version of that again, please. You know right. what I mean?
Right. You and, know,
but there it is.
I will say though that at least some of the ads get entertaining, like with Wish, because Wish has just got some weird shit. And then whatever their fucking ad platform is, it's like, where in the fuck did you get this list of stuff?
I kind of like the Wish app. It was one of my more favorite of apps.
It's weird as fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I found drug paraphernalia on there. You know what I mean? To jeans. I don't know. Don't buy their shirts. The moisture wicking ones. Like, they go by Chinese sizes. And you can get a large shirt, but that's a small person shirt.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was fun to see the stuff on there. And so Meta, what you're talking about with Meta is Facebook's new umbrella corp that's going to house the Facebook apps under one roof. And then what, Mark Zuckerberg plans on being the CEO of that and giving up control of Facebook?
No, Facebook is just going to get merged into this. So like the idea is that I think part of it is about government oversight. So like the big talk about breaking up Facebook has been like, you know, it's control over so many different so many different competitors, literally buying them out, that the idea is that if you merge it all into one company and under, you know, it's not separate divisions necessarily, then what ends up happening is that you don't have that same level of oversight possible because it's all one company.
So yeah, you're not a news organization or whatever you're claiming to be. You're a corporation. You're right. Just a mindless, bodiless corporation.
Yeah. You know, you have your social media platform, you have your picturing platform, you have your messaging platform, and they're not technically, you know, divisions anymore. That's just one company doing one thing. And you know, there's been a lot of companies that have tried to do that. And what I'll say is that you'll definitely see the monopoly laws thrown at this, and we'll see how much of it sticks. It'll be interesting, to say the least.
They're looking at it at the FTC and Securities and Exchange Commission. Like, they're seriously looking at breaking Facebook up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But by going through Meta, and then what they're also looking at doing is having like an online experience, a virtual reality experience called the Metaverse, which is so painful to say.
Yeah.
That the reality is that they could very well make themselves out to be a giant multimedia conglomerate. And so from there, then they basically give, I mean, I'm all in favor of giving the government a good middle finger personally, but these guys are also like, I don't know. They're pretty fucked up. So.
Agreed. So somebody, I saw the funniest tweet, and it was like, approximations are that 86% of the metaverse is dark meta.
Dark meta. That's funny.
That is funny. And I keep seeing these Facebook commercials. I want to address that because they seem to be basically saying, Facebook, we're good. We're trying, but the government won't regulate us. And I just want everybody to know that's kind of bullshit, you know?
Right. You know, let's be real honest. It shouldn't be something that the government has to step in and do. Right. You should be sitting down and going, yes, this is probably not the direction we want to go. Mm-hmm. And basically it's such bullshit. It is such bullshit. It's
like saying I got away with it because dad didn't notice. You know what I mean?
Or and dad wouldn't do anything about it.
I'm like, with gun control, what I always said to Adam was regulate yourselves before you become a big enough problem that the government regulates you, because you won't be happy with that, you know? And I feel the same way with this stuff. And I also feel that people have to regulate themselves a little bit on this stuff, you know? Like, thinking that you need Facebook is in and of itself a problem. That's all.
Right. You know, I'll be the first to admit that Facebook's Messenger is one of the nicest platforms, just because it does allow you to, you know, interact with people multi-platform, especially in an age where it's like you've got people who are Apple and Android users. It's like, because everybody wants their shit to be proprietary, nobody wants to be able to interface with each other. And it's like, you know, it's kind of like where, you know, the cell phone game is not quite where the console wars are right now, where the console wars are starting to wind down and people are realizing, you know, it doesn't matter if you like Xbox and I like Sony, or you like PC. You know, it's, you know, we want people to be able to play together and have fun together and interact with each other. You know, stop, you know, the less division there is in the gaming world. It's like, you know, you get to focus on making your system the best system out there for gaming. And everybody else, and now you're just, it's about letting your friends play together. And you know, you're starting to finally see that where it's like that. You know, where Sony and Xbox are interacting with each other, and Xbox and Nintendo are interacting with each other. And I mean, and you know, Xbox, you know, kind of, you know, Xbox is Microsoft. And so the PC realm is already kind of under Microsoft's control there. But the idea being that, you know, we're not interested, like, the gamers aren't interested in the console wars. Everybody's going to have their reasons as to why they think the Xbox is the best or why the PlayStation is the best.
Sure.
And the reality is that it's about the system that works for you. You know, it's like, I get PCs because I'm used to working with PCs. Like, I'm very familiar with them, that I know how to use them. Some people get Apples because they're very familiar with working with Apples, and what the stuff that they do works great on Apple. And
but nobody's gaming on an Apple. I mean, I've had gamers use my Apple and they hate it.
You know, gaming on an Apple is when you close it, then you put your PC on top of it and use that. Now, I mean, Apple's getting better about that. I mean, for the longest time, the issue at hand was is that, you know, Apple's architecture was way behind PCs. But once Apple started to embrace Intel chipsets, that gap started to close. And, you know, once Apple kind of figures out where they're going to sit in terms of graphics processing, I don't imagine that being an issue for too much longer, to be real honest. But I will say that when it comes to the price point, though, you can literally buy the same thing for about 45% less, but in a PC form, if you're looking for raw power.
Yeah. When it comes to PC or Mac, it has to be just the accessibility.
Mm-hmm.
PCs offer a magnifying bar, and, you know, the Apple just offers a magnifying zoom. So I can zoom my entire screen instead of trying to search with a magnifier and a cursor. So for me, that's the only difference. If PCs had the single button zoom thing, scroll zoom, I'd use a PC.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's just one of those things where it's like, as these systems figure out what their users are going to need and what works best, like, Windows accessibility tools have always been kind of on the later side of getting developed.
Right.
And hopefully they'll fix that too. But at the same time, it's like, you know, with everything else that they're doing right now, it's, you know, their focus is on trying to make these systems as interactive as possible. Right. And really, I think that, you know, like, when it comes back to, you know, the hardware wars and all of that fun stuff. People are just tired of the constant. It's this or that, and it's like,
yeah.
Why does it have to be that way?
For me, yeah, because I had an Xbox and a PlayStation, and it was like, where are my friends going to be? Which games do I have to get for which console? And yeah, like, playing Tiger Woods was Xbox, wasn't PlayStation, but yeah, Grand Theft Auto was PlayStation. So Mortal Kombat, when it was like you could fight people around the world, that was PlayStation, that wasn't Xbox.
Yeah.
So I would love it if it was like a one game for either console, like PlayStation people fighting Xbox people. I think that would be cool. You know?
I mean, there's definitely going to be some advantages in certain situations. For example, Sony is always probably going to have the RPG market cornered, simply because a lot of RPGs get developed in Japan, and Sony's also developed in Japan. Ease of access, they're going to have more RPG games. A lot of first-person shooters are going to be developed on Xbox because a lot of first-person shooters are developed in the States, and the ease of access is Xbox systems.
Okay, I love that.
So,
well, this is the end of Cybersecurity Month. Do you have any cybersecurity tips?
If you're asked to pay for anything in gift cards, you're being scammed. Also, if they send you an email saying that they saw you and recorded you watching porn, who cares?
Yeah, who cares? Actually, my friend his brother just got caught with that.
like It's like, we're going to post it. I'm like, okay, do it.
I feel sorry for the people that click on and have to watch that.
Oh, I'm here for it. It's like, listen, if it's going to send you a video that says your friend's beating it to porn and you want to watch that, that's on you.
Yeah, that's on you. If you really want to watch it, then have fun with that.
But realistically, like if somebody is saying, you know, that we're the cops and the only way that you're going to be able to not get arrested is to pay in gift cards, you're being scammed.
Oh, that's right.
You know, don't click on links from people you don't know. And if you do get a link from somebody you do know and you haven't been talking about getting a link, reach out to them first and say, hey, did you mean to send this to me? What are you sending me? And if they're like, oh, hey, yeah, sorry. You know, we were talking about this thing the other day and I found a link to it. You're like, oh, okay, cool. Or if it's just freaking cold and, you know, the spelling is off and there's just some wacky things about it. Like, you know, we're always in such a hurry to click on things. And it's like, just give yourself like an extra 5 seconds and you'll figure out real quickly what's bullshit.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I don't click on anything I don't know, because I get a lot of stuff. Hey, guess what? We love your music. I don't have music. Hey, promote with us. Nah, I'm not clicking on that, you know, or those. Hey, it's Kimberly. I saw you last week, you know, or even text messages that say, hey, blah, blah, blah. Like they're acting like it's a wrong number, you know, like they're trying to reach somebody's sister. Hey, I had your number from a long time ago. Those are scams, you know. I think maybe not. Maybe there is this girl that saw me somewhere, but guess what? I don't care. The risk isn't worth the reward, you know?
Suddenly Jason finds out that he's missed out on lifelong love because he thought it was a scam. Because he never actually talked to this person, but somehow they got his number.
Right. It was a Craigslist connection.
Damn it.
So I'm go to where is it? Stopransomware.gov if you are worried about that.
Right. And now, if you want to talk about something spooky, Craigslist, man, that was some weird shit back when the personals were still allowed.
Right. Looking for inflated tires.
Oh, my God. I think one of the funniest ones that I ever saw on there was when I was living in Bozeman, and under misconnections, there was one that was like, to the girl that I saw in Albertsons at this time yesterday, you let out this disgustingly awful fart and it's so rank and I just have to get your number. And I'm like,
nope,
man. I mean, takes a brave individual to shoot their shot on that one.
Hey, once you know a woman is more disgusting than you, you feel comfortable hitting on her because she knows she won't be disgusted by you.
Well, so you hope anyways.
So you hope anyways. I love how you keep tangenting to one of these most amazing stories of the week. hold on a minute. I just want to say real quick, we started following a new hashtag and promoting a new Twitter account, and it's Welcome W Dignity, and the hashtag is Welcome with Dignity. And their goal is to hyper target to get amnesty restored, dignity in migration. They want Title 42 to end. We want the deportations of Haitians to stop. And I'm always in favor of reforming the border, and these people are they're more knowledgeable than I am, and they're hyper-focused on it, and I met them through NIJC. So those are the two Twitter accounts. I'm really hoping people start following, because I want to spread awareness about migration, you know? And so those are two places where we can get people to start paying attention to that.
And you know, I would also say too, it's like, people have to remember when it comes to asylum seeking, it's like, there are some very valid reasons out there that people, you know, are forced to flee their country and seek asylum. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just send them back and then be like, well, tough shit. It's like, you find out a lot of the times you're sending these people back into certain death. So, you know, everybody wants to see it as not their problem. And I'm not saying that all of them have legitimate amnesty needs. You know, you still have to vet and verify, absolutely. But you can't just toss them out either.
I don't think so. I have my cousins, they came from the Philippines because drugs had become a problem, and the government decided that what they would do to eliminate the drugs were go into the towns, the small villages that the drugs were being distributed from, and burn them to the ground and kill everybody in there, whether you were a drug dealer or not. There was no due process. So they came from the Philippines for a better life here and brought their family here so that they didn't die. That's the stuff people are talking about. It's not like, oh, I have a hangnail and I got to go to the U.S. for treatment. That's not what's happening here.
And it's not people that are just like, oh, well, I'm just going to come here because I want to take somebody else's job. Look,
right.
My cousin's wife came here because they were migrant workers. Absolutely. And they went back to Mexico every year. Mm-hmm. At the end of their shift. It's just that, you know, my cousin happened to meet this one woman and they hit it off really well. And now my cousin and my cousin's wife live here and they have a very happy family in South Dakota. And you know what? Great. That's awesome. You know, it's not how it works for everybody. You know, the number of people that I know that have migrated to the United States, you know, I would, in a lot of cases, I would say are more American than most Americans I know. You know, they truly do believe in this area being, you know, this part of the world being where dreams are made and come true because of hard work. They're not looking for easy street. Most of, you know, a lot of the people that have come here and migrated here are not looking for easy street. And I do get that, you know, there's a bunch of people that are going to be pissed off if they get let in easy. But I mean, you have to remember, getting let into this country isn't easy to begin with, period. There is no easy. Even the people who have come here, like you look at the Dreamers and their pathway to citizenship as it stands right now, that shit's going to be fucking difficult when they finally do agree on what that actually looks like.
Yeah, it takes a lot to get here. It's a 2,000-mile journey for most people that live in the Americas. And the strongest try, the bravest try, and the strongest succeed. You know what I mean? And those are the kind of people that we want. But right now, they're using Title 42, which is the pandemic initiative, to turn people away because of COVID. And they're using that to prevent amnesty. Mm-hmm. And so even if a Haitian is vaccinated and can prove it, they're turning them away under this Title 42. And that's, like I said last week, we have a job, a lack of people wanting to do jobs. So every American has the opportunity to have a job. If you don't have a job, it's because you can't get a job, but we still need these jobs filled. And the migrants that we're holding at the border are the people that fill in the gaps in places where we need people employed. Mm-hmm. And if we don't have them, then we have these gaps like this. And then your burger comes out crappy, or Wendy's has a commercial, hey, guess what? We finally have hot fries, because people they're not working at the Tyson plant anymore. And white people aren't doing that. And Latinos aren't doing it because we won't let them in. Haitians, they're not here to drive trucks. So everything is falling apart because we don't have people.
And I mean, you look at the amount of shortages. Like, we're talking about how, you know, we can't get enough stuff unloaded from ships that are waiting out in port, and we don't have enough CDL truck drivers to get shit moved around. It's like, you know, at some point you have to look at what you're doing and go, yeah, we're doing this to ourselves.
I mean, yeah. Who do people think are doing those jobs? So
Yeah.
It's a scapegoat, and you're hurting yourself. You're shooting yourself in the foot to use other people as a scapegoat when they've always been a meaningful part of the world.
And I would say that, you know, and I would say from an economic standpoint, what you're by enforcing these policies the way that you are, and not helping people get in to either do the work, take the positions that nobody else is taking, and thus leaving all this stuff open, you're contributing to what the inflation rate looks like right now. Mm-hmm. So you kind of are fucking yourself in this realm.
Right. Well, because we don't have the farm workers, it's not like they're producing less farm, right? They're not producing less lettuce. They're still producing the same amount of lettuce, but they have fewer people to harvest that, which means food is going, it's rotting. And that also means the cost to clean that up, as well as the cost price of what is still there to use, goes up because it's supply and demand. We have less lettuce to offer you now because 75% of it rotted on the vine, you know.
Yeah, we have less lettuce to offer you because, you know, 10% of it, you know, rotted in the field. We have less lettuce to offer you because we're short truck drivers by about 20%. We have less lettuce to offer you because we have grocery stores that are not able to fully stock their stuff in time. So, you know, we have less goods to offer you because they're sitting out in port. They're sitting out on a boat and we can't get the ports unloaded. And we have less stuff to offer you because when we finally get a boat into port, we don't have enough people to unload the ships fast enough. And we have less to offer you because, you know, what we are getting unloaded, we don't have enough truck drivers to get it away from the port. So at some point you have to sit down and look at this and realize it's like, it's a false sense of scarcity. It's not that we don't have it. We just don't have the people to get that stuff done. And so that's why you're seeing inflation work the way that it is. It's not that the stuff isn't there. It's not, you know, the only real scarcity that we're dealing with right now is a chip shortage.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. And that just comes down to what companies are offering. Companies aren't offering what they used to offer. And so people are less likely to work somewhere where they're just going to injure themselves for something that doesn't even sustain their lifestyle. I was telling my friend about this, that, you know, companies, they used to, good companies, there was good companies and bad companies. Good companies used to offer you a wage and a chance to advance and get raises, and they would offer you a 401k or a pension, and they would offer you insurance. And then certain people stopped paying their taxes. They stopped offering insurance. They stopped offering the 401ks, and that's how they got their, that's how they became rich, was by not doing what others used to do. And so the rich aren't rich. The rich are just not paying what they should have paid. If they had paid what they should have paid, people would be happy to work there and they would have less money and the employees would have a little more, you know?
When you look at what viable options look like in terms of reducing, let's say a multi-billion-dollar company's capital expenses, at this point, what should be happening is that if you look at what a corporate tax rate looks like, it's like, okay, you know, your corporate tax rate is 15%. Now, if you want to reduce how much of that corporate tax rate looks like, it's like what you pay for in healthcare expenses, like for insurance, the kind of insurance you get, that's a deductible. You can deduct that off. And so what that allows, what that would allow companies to do, or essentially force their hand in, is, you know, they're going to spend money on the top of the line healthcare for their workers. Why? Because then they don't have to pay it in taxes.
Right.
And
that's the way it used to work, right?
Right. And then, hey, we're going to up your contributions into a 401k plan. We're going to offer you great 401k diversity.
Yeah, we're going to match.
And that's another way to reduce your taxable income.
Yeah.
And so what you're going to see is you would see a lot of companies start really investing in people rather than doing everything that they can to avoid paying taxes. Now, I'm not one for corporate taxes. I'm not one for corporate taxes as it is, because here's what it's going to look like. And this is what the reality is. The reality is that there's a bunch of companies that are going to say, oh, yes, we're totally going to do the 15% corporate tax rate. And then a couple of them are going to be like, nah, when everybody else does that, those companies are then going to move their headquarters to those countries mm-hmm. to avoid taxes. And
well, so, Biden is trying to negotiate a 15% global tax rate.
And I guarantee you that there will be countries that won't do that. And so one of the things that we have to talk about in this realm is that if companies decide to do that and they decide to move their headquarters to these tax havens, then what the American government has to do is the next time there is a huge problem that breaks out, i.e. A housing market blow up, a dot-com burst, a pandemic.
Right.
And these companies are like, hey, look, we're struggling.
We're too big to fail.
No, you moved your place of business to another country. It's their job to make sure that you don't go under. It's not ours.
Right.
You don't get tax. You don't get breaks for not paying taxes in this country, period.
Right.
And that's what has to happen.
I think what happened was what you explained, investing in employees. Something happened where you could put your money in account and not pay taxes on that.
Mm-hmm.
So like a billionaire, he has $1 billion. He puts that away. Mm-hmm. He earns money on that, but then he gets a loan based on that for say $40,000 to live his life for the year. And then he just pays that loan off and his billion never gets taxed. What he gets taxed on is that $40,000. And that's why they don't have to pay. That's why Donald Trump paid $780 in taxes one year, you know, mm-hmm. is because he didn't have cash on hand. It was all in assets.
Mm-hmm.
And so companies invest in assets and public stocks and not in employees. So
that's where you have these issues at hand where the left and the right tend to like fight with each other is that the left mm-hmm. is like, oh, you know, Elon Musk had his stuff increased by $36 billion. He doesn't have $36 billion cash in hand.
Right.
He has $36 billion in assets that he can't liquidate. And right. so the idea that you're just suddenly going to take a cut of that is just absolutely hilarious to me that you don't understand how these investment strategies work. And then at the same time, you then have the right sitting down and complaining about how, you know, people aren't willing to work for, you know, these low income jobs that don't have right. any benefits. And it's like, well, it's like you have to balance what you're willing to invest in your company and what you're willing to invest in your soft assets, aka people.
Right.
And
yes.
And if you don't invest in your soft assets, you don't have soft assets. Kind of like if you don't invest in hard assets, you don't have hard assets. It's not that hard right. to understand.
What I'm saying is Elon Musk, if he got $36 billion in one quarter, he would have had $35.5 billion if he invested in his employees. You know what I mean? It's that little bit. But if they're going to hide it, how do we get it? You know what I mean? If our roads are crumbling, if our infrastructure is failing, and these are the corporations and entities that use the roads in the worst ways with their trucks and vehicles and transportation and all that stuff, why are we paying to update the rail system for corporations to use? Why are we paying to update bridges that come out of a FedEx facility? You know what I mean? It's these things. Like, don't they have a responsibility to build infrastructure?
Well, I mean, I would say that this is where this gets tough, because which came first, the FedEx facility or the bridge? Mm-hmm. And the answer is usually the bridge came first, and then FedEx decided that was where they were going to build their ship, their right. their stuff. Hold on a second.
Yeah, no problem. You're listening to Public Access America. Happy Halloween, everybody. I am a flaming pillar of fire again. That's what my costume is, with a pair of boxing gloves on.
The glories of having a dog is that your dog gets to decide when it's going to behave and be a jerk.
Oh, of course. I came into my office. I was typing something because somebody was like, we should boycott Tucker Carlson sponsors. And I looked up Tucker Carlson sponsors and I was so saddened by who they were that I was going to make a tweet saying, hey, I feel pity for Tucker Carlson. But then I left and I came back and the cat was on the keyboard. Mm-hmm. And it looked like the cat was tweeting to Tucker Carlson, and I got a picture of it.
I mean, so, you know,
You choose when the animals do what they want to do. You know,
right,
I mean?
Right.
And yeah, you know, 97% of Tucker Carlson's sponsorship is Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the other 3% is like Tommy Copper, My Pillow, things I boycott anyway.
Right. I love the ideas of boycotting. Simply, like, mm-hmm. My personal favorite right now is all the ones where it's like, we're going to boycott Amazon for a day. Like, okay, so you're not going to order anything today, but tomorrow it's going to be fine. Okay, cool. That sounds absolutely useless.
Right.
But you don't understand. They lose so many profits on today. And I'm like, no, I understand, because they'll get all of those profits tomorrow, plus whatever they're going to order, whatever people were going to order anyways. It's like, people don't have that kind of a commitment unless there's like a serious wrong that's been done by the company. We need to be real honest about that. Your one-day boycotts are bullshit.
I mean,
but it's about solidarity. No, it's not. It's about virtue.
It's about longevity. It's about consistency.
And all you're doing is virtue signaling. You're not actually committing to something. You're not actually saying the practices of this business are so heinous that I can no longer support it.
Mm-hmm.
And until people understand that these one-day boycotts are just them, you know, it's hashtag activism, but yes, with extra steps.
Yes. It in today's culture, people think they're an activist because they recognize an issue. You know, that's today. That's what we do today. Look, I realize there's riots in Myanmar. Look, I'm a good person because I acknowledge that. That's not how it is. I stopped using Northern toilet paper because I learned that the Koch brothers manufacture it. Now, I can simply go to Charmin, and that's all I did. I don't know if it's any skin off of their head, but it makes me feel better. I left Facebook not to push other people off of Facebook, but because I didn't feel good that the $50 a month they were earning on my data was going to things like suppressing voices in Vietnam. You know what I mean? I just couldn't do that. But that's me. That's not everybody. And it takes everyone in the chain to get where we're going. But hashtag activists, man, they really frustrate me. And I'm talking to you, David Hogue.
Seriously. Like this is one of those things where people need to actually understand that. It's like, you don't affect change by telling people to stage these one-day things. Look, right. you want to talk about longevity, look at what's happening with the John Deere strike. I mean, you've already had somebody that got killed on the line. They don't, don't know if it was malicious or if there was a drunk driver or what yet. We'll find out eventually, I suppose. But the idea is that, you know, when you commit to something, you're committing to something until the company changes its behavior. Saying that you're not going to do something for one day, but then, you know, the next day you're going to go back and you're going to buy stuff. It absolutely makes no sense whatsoever. All you're doing is virtue signaling. You're not, you're not telling the company to change its behavior by, you know, by voting with your wallet. And that's really what it is. It's like Chick-fil-A for me.
Yeah.
I've heard plenty of people tell me that it's the best chicken sandwich you'll ever have. And I'm like, cool. I'm not eating there.
Yeah. Rat might taste like filet mignon, but I'll never know.
Right. And, you know, there's several other companies like that. It's like, great. It's like, cool. It's like, there's some where I'm like, yeah, I miss the food, but it's like not worth it to me because the company refuses to change its behavior. And until the company changes its behavior, I'm not eating there. Period. End of story.
But what every company does is it tries to like duck and cover through a scandal. You know what I mean? And so one day activists, what do? They just they tell the end, right? We're going to boycott you, Taco Bell, but just for a day. Don't worry about it. I'm sure every Amazon worker was like, thank God, like we got a break today. You know what I mean? So you did was give them a break. Do that. Do that every month. Like just one day. Don't shop at Amazon. Not to boycott Amazon, but to give the employees a little bit of a break, you know?
Right. Well, yeah, and that's the thing is that knowing Amazon, they would be like, okay, well, so technically you only work 35 hours this week, so we're going to cut your benefits. Yay.
Yeah. It's that trickle down effect, isn't it?
Yep. So
I boycott things based on boycotting them, but am I not going to watch a 20th Century Fox movie free? You know what I mean? Like that's stupid, but am I going to go to the movies and watch a 20th Century Fox movie? No, never. No, I won't pay for that. But that's me. I'm not going to support Fox. Like, if you, the weird thing is Fox gets most of its money from being on streaming sites. So if they're on Comcast cable, Comcast pays them a percentage of the profits to be on there. You know what I mean? And the same mm-hmm. with Hulu, the same with everything else. So it doesn't matter if you boycott, I don't know, Tommy Copper, because Fox is getting most of its money in other ways. You know what I mean?
Right.
And the, what is it, the Washington Post and the New Yorker? I have a whole list of stuff that they're on.
And so
I love this. I love it. We managed to save the topic for the second episode because it's such a weak topic. So let's wrap up with this hour with the Supreme Court. Tomorrow we'll hear oral arguments about Texas abortion law. Mm-hmm. And you can find those if you go to the Supreme Court website. They don't televise them, but you can hear the audio of the oral arguments.
We've gone from orgles to birds.
Oh man, that's so sad. I love it. Sometimes you have to embrace that stuff, you know.
Oh, absolutely. I mean? Sometimes you're just gonna completely slay the English language because your tongue's like,
but you gotta roll with it. You gotta make it fun. So do you have any opinion about what do you think is gonna happen? You know what I mean?
This is a tough one. You know, my hope is that the justices will see that, you know, it does interfere with Roe versus Wade, simply because what you're doing is you're punishing people for something that's not a crime, and you're violating one person's civil rights, the person who is, you know, in search of an abortion. And this has already been decided by the Supreme Court in the past. I really hope, I think that you'll see John Roberts actually side with the liberal justices. You know, what Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and what's her name, Barrett, look at. I mean, I don't know what they're going to see or do in that regard. But to me, it's very clear that, you know, they're trying to use it as a civil procedure, but they're violating the civil rights of the person by enforcing this particular thing on doctors, especially when you have a procedure that's already cleared. So it's a tough one, just because you're hoping that people will rely on precedent in order for this to continue the way that it was. But at the same time too, this is an entirely different precedent, and I think that I hope that what they'll see is that Texas is violating civil rights by doing what they're doing. Period. End of story.
So, do you think we're overstating the partisanship of the court? Like, can they be fair and unbiased? Because their job is actually just to look at the law and on precedent, right?
Right. Their job is to look at the law and go on precedent. And
right.
And, you know, realistically, you know, what you've seen in the past is like even someone like John Roberts saying, look, we have precedent on this and that's not to be changed.
Right.
And that's what you expect of a conservative justice. So right. My hope is that's what they will do. You know, you can make the argument this is where it gets tough. When Roe versus Wade was enacted, at least in the 70s, the idea of what fetal viability looked like was where we put it at now, 28 weeks.
Right.
And that, you know, at that point, you know, the technology was there to, you know, save a fetus, mm-hmm. but that it could be viable outside the womb. I think it's not there yet, but what I do envision is, because we have come up with things like artificial wombs, for example, that at some point you could see the law change, because you do have the ability to have a particular fetus exist outside of mother's womb and in an unnatural one and have it fully develop. The question becomes, what does that look like in terms of, you know, giving birth or anything like that? And I guarantee you, nobody's going to want to be the first to experiment with that one. No state will, I will say that. There might be some individuals who would be willing to, you know, undergo surrogacy in an artificial womb to see how everything develops, absolutely. But I think that the technology is the hindrance, because the issue at hand was not about life itself. There was never the decision that it wasn't life. It was life. It was about viability. And I think that's the issue at hand, is that even at 6 weeks, there's absolutely no viability whatsoever. It's like if that lump of cells comes out, it's still life, yes, but it's not viable life. And that's the problem. And so until there is more definitive
data
science on what viability actually looks like, until technology changes, I honestly think that the case to be made is that they haven't changed anything in terms of viability. And that's that really is the defining part of this.
That's actually what the Mississippi case is about, because Mississippi says we're changing it to 15 weeks because we believe viability is at 15 weeks. And that always scared me. That argument scares me, because the abortion conversation was always, God says it's bad, science says it's necessary. You know what I mean?
Right.
And the right is choice. We don't all believe in God the same way. So with taking religion out of politics, abortion was allowed. But if you add the science of, we can get this baby to grow after 6 weeks, then that's the argument to have. And that's what I worry about.
Well, I think that's where the argument will be eventually. I will say that the technology isn't quite there yet.
Right.
So, and I think one of the things that is going to have to, you know, because this is actually something that my kids brought up at one time, was that, you know, how is it that, you know, you can get an abortion and it's not murder, but if a pregnant woman is murdered, you can get charged with 2 counts of murder.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, therein lies the rub.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, one of the things that we have to, that the left has to admit, I will say, is that it doesn't matter what the abortion looks like. You're still aborting life. But what the right has to admit is that it's not about life. It's about viability. And at some point, you know, we've all known women who have miscarried, and miscarried early or miscarried late. And the idea that you're going to charge or tell someone that they murdered someone for something that's well beyond control in their own body, God knows how many people I know that have miscarried through, you know, and they were excited and stoked about their pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. What I wonder is, this little baby, you know, until it comes out of the womb and gets a birth certificate, is still an undocumented migrant. And I don't understand why the right doesn't see the undocumented migrant crisis coming from women's uteruses as a real issue. Here we have fetuses just jumping the border and being inserted into a woman's body so that they can come out 9 months later. You know what I mean? As a citizen, that's not fair. That's bullshit.
Oh, trust me, they're already trying to go that route. I've heard that discussion in the last 10 years.
Really? That was the wildest way I could go in that direction.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm sure that you've heard people use the term anchor baby before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, somebody comes over and impregnates a woman and then gets forced back but gets to come back because their baby's here.
Yep.
It's like the chain migration, right?
Mm-hmm.
One family member comes here and then they all come here. That's what life in America is about, isn't it?
So, I as much as I appreciate you trying to find the joke, the sad part is that for some of them, it's already reality.
That's so sad, man. Mm-hmm. All right, well, thank you for being here and listening to Public Access America on Halloween. Wait, what are your kids going to be for Halloween? Are they going to be anything?
The most terrifying thing of all, teenagers.
Right. Right. Support your teenagers today. Give them a space to talk and listen, and we will talk to you.
To those who would tear the world down, we will defeat you.
This is our moment.
This is our time.
To those who seek peace and security, we support you.
Yes, we can.
And to all those who have wondered if America's beacon still burns as bright, tonight we prove once more that the true strength of our nation comes not from the might of our arms or the scale of our wealth, but from the enduring
something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbow. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life.
Ask not.
Yes, we can.
What your country can do for you.
I have a dream.
Ask what you can do for your country.
I, poor little children.
Yes, we can.
One day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression.
In this lifetime, you don't have to prove nothing to nobody except yourself.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward.
That's how winning is done.
Welcome to Public Access America.
Yes, we can.
Sunday live streams on YouTube.
I wanted to run out of that tunnel for my dad.
On Twitter.
Apple
Podcasts. Stitcher Smart Radio.
And Spotify.
Yes, we can.
Public Access America.
History in the making.
Making history in the making.
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.